Well, the day that many fans, parents, coaches, players, you name it, they all look forward to the first Wednesday in February for National Signing Day. Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Bullpen. I'm your host, Steve Berry, publisher of USF.Rivals.com, more commonly known as RunningTheBulls.com. And what a whirlwind of activity for the Bulls today. They pick up a four-star defensive back in Lamar Robbins. They feint off an attack for Robbins and get him. They pick up a heck of a running back in Darius Tice from Northwestern, a running back that had committed to Cincinnati and came to South Florida in the midweek and pulled the trigger. Of course, they missed out on a couple of players that they had a good shot at, like Denver Kirkland, who surprisingly is going to Arkansas, like Stacy Coley, who surprisingly, to be honest with you, is going to the University of Miami. Mackenzie Alexander shocked everyone by not going to Auburn. In fact, he went to Clemson, and that kind of shocked everybody. So it's an interesting day, and no one has followed it more around the Southeast than our Rivals.com Southeast expert, Keenan Codrington, who's down in Miami. Keenan, have they found Mrs. Collins yet? And has Arkansas gotten the LOI for Alex, or is she still running?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on, guys. They have not found Alex and his mother. I just returned home from going to South Plantation High School to try to get a comment. The school is saying no comment, and Coach Gatewood did leave the school shortly after Miss Collins took the LOI papers, and everybody's MIA right now. But Steve, I'm working on some sources. I tracked down some information. I left messages for Miss Collins, Andrea, Alex's mom, and we're hoping to catch up with them this evening. The LOI for Arkansas, you know, expires at midnight tonight, and then, you know, they'll have a chance to reissue a new one, or another school like Miami or Florida State will maybe try to get them back in the fold. So we'll see. It's a fluid situation. We're doing our best to track it down.
Well, now, Keenan, for those who are listening that don't know what happened today, kind of recap the wild and woolly experience at the Paladins' home field of South Plantation.
Sure. Yes, Steve. This morning, South Plantation had a press conference and an announcement for Alex Collins and teammate John Franklin, who committed to Florida State. And it was just a formality. They were just signing their letters of intent after announcing on Monday to both schools on Fox Sports on their TV show. So the LOIs were there. John signed his without a hitch. And Alex's mother showed up to the school, said she's not signing off on the papers, left with the papers. Alex did so shortly, and Coach Gatewood left right after the press conference. So it's a very interesting situation. Not one of the crazier ones. I think, Steve, you've been around long enough. We've seen crazier come signing day.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a situation to watch. He's one of the top players that Arkansas was able to get late and steal him out of Miami's backyard. So it's a big day for them, and I'm sure they're waiting. The Arkansas staff is waiting by the fax machine, hoping that LOI comes in by midnight tonight.
All right, Keenan, before we bring in Nick Grinowitz, our managing editor, let's talk real quickly about two prospects the Bulls ended up odd man out on. Denver Kirkland goes to Arkansas, and Stacy Coley goes to Miami. Let's go ahead and bring in Nick Grinowitz, who's our managing editor at Rivals.com for running the Bulls. And Nick, welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing good. And Nick, I've got Keenan Codrington on with us, and we're talking real quickly about a couple of Bulls prospects, Stacy Coley and Denver Kirkland. Keenan, Denver Kirkland went back and forth, up and down, sideways and upside down. He was at Miami, then it was pulled, then Miami wanted to talk to him. He had eliminated South Florida, according to his stepfather, and then no, the Bulls are still in it. What happened?
Steve, I was down at the press conference this morning, and after Denver announced for Arkansas, there was a little bit of a shock. I caught up with Coach Ice Harris afterwards, who said he didn't even know that Denver was going to pick Arkansas. I asked him point blank, did you think it was Miami all along? He said, you know, up until the situation, he thought Matt Thomas and Denver were both headed to Miami, but, you know, things change, as you know, in recruiting, and he picked Arkansas. It was a surprise. I think Coach Taggart at USF did a very nice job coming to visit Denver and then doing an in-home. And I think some people thought they had a really good chance for Denver. He'd already officialed, or he actually went to a USF game earlier this year with teammate Matt Thomas. So he was very familiar with the program, and that was under Skip Holtz. But Taggart got in there. He tried to make his best pitch. I think he did as much as he could before, you know, the connection with Randy Shannon at Arkansas kind of won out for Denver. And when I talked to Denver afterwards, he said he wanted to get away, you know, grow up as a person outside of the state of Florida, and that's, you know, ultimately why he chose Arkansas. So that was, you know, that was a big miss for USF. But at the same time, give him credit for just being in the mix with a coaching change this late in the game.
Okay, it was a big miss for USF, however, comma, the Bulls did manage to come into Miami's backyard and take a four-star defensive back away from the Canes and from Louisville. Let's talk about Lamar Robbins. Nick, you got a chance to write this story. What an incredible story it's been, Nick.
Yeah, what a pickup for USF. I mean, bringing in Lamar Robbins from Southridge High School down there in Miami. And, I mean, when you talk to Willie Taggart during the press conference today, Lamar Robbins was kind of the name on the tip of everybody's tongue because of what he does for USF. I mean, the secondary for the Bulls, so poor last year, and bringing in Robbins, I mean, you know, Tynan's here. He's the one that wrote up the eval that I used in my article. I mean, he's long. He can really transition with good speed between cornerback or safety. He gives them not just depth. I mean, he gives them another body because that's what they need, but what he does is he gives them more options for a secondary that really did struggle last year. And, I mean, Willie Taggart went in there. They brought in Lamar Robbins to USF for an official visit, and I mean, the Sunday after the Friday that he came in, decided that he wanted to commit and come to USF, and although there were some reports that he was wavering for a couple of days there, I mean, we spoke with Lamont Green, both you and I did, Steve, and he said that he was firm to USF, and well, that turned out to be true today when he signed for the Bulls, and that's where Lamar's headed, and Bulls fans are really excited about having him here.
Okay, Keenan, your take on Lamar Robbins and also on Deidre Sennett from Immokalee, who also signed with the Bulls today.
Sure. I agree with 100% of what Nick said. I mean, he's the type of player that he improved as the year went on. I mean, he's in the same backfield as Jamal Carter, a Rivals 250 prospect, who may get a little more of the puck, but Robbins is a very good defensive back. He's long at about 6'2 for corner. He's not going to get beat out by bigger receivers. He's going to be able to press and get his hands on guys. I saw him at two All-Star games, the Dave Broward All-Star game by Under Armour that the Dolphins presented, and then I also saw him at the Nike Dave Broward All-Star game, and he was the best defensive back on the field, hands down. And he's a guy that can lock up top-tier receivers. He's quick enough to handle smaller receivers, too. I mean, he's a big guy, but he's quick. He has long arms, a long wingspan. He can mirror guys downfield. I think he's an excellent pickup and one of the jewels of the class because, I mean, they had Callaway, but getting Robbins out of South Florida is very big. And Callaway's a guy in their backyard, but Robbins had his pick of Louisville, Oklahoma, and at the end he chose South Florida. And then a guy like Sennett, he's just a tough, hard-nosed player. Not the tallest, but he does make plays. He goes both ways as well. He played offensive tackle. He was very good there. You know, he has some conditioning. So for going both ways, getting his team to a state championship, but he makes plays at defensive tackle. He's a guy that can occupy blockers, let linebackers do their job, and he gets a good push up front to make plays in the backfield and kind of clash the pocket a little bit. He's a guy I like. His ranking dipped a little bit, but I think it's because other guys just kind of moved up with him kind of going down. I think just some other guys have some bigger years and maybe some bigger potential at the next level because of their size and maybe a little more upside.
Well, Nick, we were talking about this because the timing, as they say, was inauspicious, so to speak, because Keenan, as soon as Sennett committed to South Florida, that night, the Rivals rankings kicked in, and he went from a four-star to a three-star. And oh, did we get the emails. Man, did we get bombarded with emails about, oh, he signs with us, and now you guys drop him to a three-star. And I kept telling folks, no, 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 that's not how it works. Trust me, we had nothing to do with it. It wasn't us. It was Keenan Codrington. So we blamed you, Keenan. That's okay. All right?
That's perfectly fine, Steve. It is all my fault. Trust me, you can – Keep the comments coming my way.
All right, let's open up the phone lines. If you want to talk to Keenan or Nick or a cast of thousands, you can call in at 888. That's 888 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. The phone lines are open anywhere in the United States and Canada. If you're outside of the United States, you can look up on bbsradio.com and find yourself a phone number that will work for you. Keenan Codrington, Steve Berry, Nick Grinowitz, live with you on in the bullpen. We'll try to do this every other week, give you an update on what's going on, not just in football, but also with the rest of athletics for the Bulls. It's going to be a football show tonight. We'll talk a smidgen about Marquette and South Florida, but everybody right now wants to talk about this class. Nick, any surprises in your mind from this class? I mean, the Bulls were 100% for their commitments. How about that?
Yeah, they really were. I think that that was the big surprise, not any individual that either came or did not come, but it was the fact that the Bulls did go 100% because there were some guys that report surface for wavering. You know, no one can really go through and actually figure out if there weren't second thoughts there, but we know that Robbins was one guy we already mentioned that was, maybe thinking about going somewhere else or wavering a bit, but the fact that Coach Willie Taggart and Larry Scott and Coach Walt as well all went in, and Coach Walt Wells and did a nice job. Coach Woody as well did a nice job locking guys up. And I mean, one thing that Willie Taggart said that he did last night. He said, "I tucked them all in last night." It's what he said to open up this press conference, which meant I called every individual guy last night and I tucked them in. I didn't want them to have nightmares, is what he said. And I didn't have any either, so I expect it to be a good day. And, you know, that's exactly what USF is looking for out of the effort for recruiting, to have guys that are, you know, kicking down doors and making sure that recruits, you know that USF is there. And, I mean, the most surprising thing, you know, they went, was it 21-22 or something like that for 22, and, you know, they yep. brought in some very, very good players. And not only for the four-star guys, but the three-star guys, guys like Nate Godwin, guys like Zach Benjamin, you know, from the local schools here around Tampa. I mean, if USF can get the best from the Bay Area, they're going to be a very competitive football team for years to come.
Okay, Keenan, hold that thought. I know you want to jump in here. We've got Ronald on the line. Ronald's got a question for the panel. Ronald, welcome to In the Bullpen.
How you doing today, Donald? I got a question, right? I've seen the class. I've been looking at the class, but it seems like all the talent that USF gets always seems to get downgraded compared to the big schools. It seems like even Ashanti Willard, when he was about to come to USF, he didn't get much pub or anything, but when he decommitted and chose to go to, like, the bigger schools like UCLA, Kentucky, you know what I'm saying, the SEC powerhouses, he started getting more, you know what I'm saying, notoriety through the nation. And I want to know what you guys think about that.
Let me jump in here real quick, Donald, because I covered high school football and still cover high school football in Florida for 30 years. And I'll tell you what happened, and Keenan will agree with this. It wasn't that Asante got upgraded when he decommitted. It was that he went out and won the Elite 11. I mean, he won the quarterback competition in the United States of America and won it hands down. And you've got to elevate a guy after that happened. I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that he was committed to South Florida and that he decommitted and that will help. There's a myth there, and I think that folks that don't understand how players are evaluated, it's not that that Mike Farrell and Keenan and Woody and the guys just get into a room and throw darts at a board. They actually – I think Woody drew blood this past January because he was mad about a couple things, wasn't he, Keenan? Didn't he get up and start a fight, or was that just a golf game?
No, he did. He did. He was mad that he wasn't the GM of the draft room. And Mike Farrell had to tell him, hey, I'm the national analyst and you're the new guy. But he went to bat for some of his guys, and we all do that. I mean, to jump into your point, Steve, I've been fortunate enough to see Asante Willard in person from my time at ESPN and working the Elite 11 events and seeing him at the Nike camp. And he's a guy that kind of came on late, but he wowed at the Elite 11 after not having a great first 2 days. He got injured, hurt his hamstring, and in the final day, I mean, Coach Dilfer was saying, hey, let's put Asante in the pressure cooker. Let's see what he can do. And he answered the bell, and he made every single throw he needed to. 2-minute drill with the game on the line, came down. He made a great throw on his second read to the square end option to get a touchdown. And Dilfer threw the clipboard up in the air and said, this is our MVP, this is the guy. So he elevated himself, and rightfully so. His senior year, I had a chance to see him in person against Timber Creek, and he didn't have the best game. His line struggled. He was a little erratic with some of his throws. So And then his last game of his senior year in high school, unfortunately, he breaks his ankle. So he moved down a little bit because of his senior year production, but we love the upside. We love the potential that Asante brings to the table. It had nothing to do with him being committed to USF at all. And, you know, the fact that you alluded to, he moved up when he committed to UCLA, that's not true. He actually moved down in the final rankings. So his spot went down because of production on the field this year. Nothing to do with the school he was committed to.
Hey, Donald, thanks for the phone call. Hope we answered your question, and we appreciate you calling in. We appreciate your support for runningthebulls.com. And we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Josh Appel, who was out covering some events. Nick's got to get ready for a basketball game, but Josh will be joining us. Kenyon's going to stay with us. You can, too. As I mentioned, our phone number, you can call up. We've got the lines open. It is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We'll take a 60-second timeout. When we come back, Josh Appel will join us, and we'll keep talking about this stellar class. I give this class an A- for the Bulls and Coach Willie Taggart and company in their first timeout. We'll be back after this 60-second timeout. This is In the Bullpen. Welcome back to In the Bullpen. I'm Steve Berry, publisher of RunningTheBulls.com, a part of the Rivals.com network. I am joined by Kenyon Codrington, the Southeast analyst for Rivals.com. Kenyon, let's go back to breaking down the Bulls class. We started in the south part of the state in Miami. We've worked our way across Alligator Alley talking about Sinnott. Now let's move up I-75, and we'll hit Derek Callaway and Eric Mays, two players from the East Bay, if you will, across the Sunshine Skyway. Mays committed and Callaway both committed after their visits to USF. Callaway, a flip from Louisville. Mays, a strong defensive end who's got some speed. Kenyon, what's your take on those two? One's a four-star, one's a three-star.
Yeah, Callaway is a player that I've watched for a few years now. I remember him in the state championship game when Tennessee kind of got over the hump. After they lost the Plant and when they beat First Coast, and he was a guy that was very, very disruptive. A lot of talk with DeMarcus Christmas, the underclassman, but Callaway is a tremendous player. He's very good at stopping the run. He's not going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but he is a guy that's going to disrupt, collapse the pocket a little bit, maybe force some bad throws, maybe force some bad decisions by a quarterback, but he does a good job stopping the run. He's a guy that will occupy guys as well, kind of similar to Sinnott, but he's bigger guy, stronger guy. And there was some talk about him, you know, going to the West Coast. He's originally from California and some other schools. And for him to stay home at USF is a really nice pickup for Coach Taggart, and then flipping him as well. So it wasn't an easy job, even though Manatee's right down the road from USF. So nice job by Coach Taggart there. And then Eric Mays is another prospect that we like from the Sarasota area, Booker High School. He's a guy with nice size at 6'4", 240. He's a weak side defensive end. He probably needs to put on a little more weight to take on bigger blockers at the next level. But he is a guy with speed that can get after the passer a little bit. And, you know, it's a nice get to keep that guy, keep him home as well. And he committed after his official visit, as you said. He enjoyed it. He didn't have a bunch of big offers, but he's still a very quality player that adds some depth to the position as well. But anytime you got guys that you can bring in and help get after the quarterback, that's what you want. I mean, as you know, the game is moving to the spread and four or five wide receiver sets, and being able to pressure the quarterback is what you need, and having bodies helps as well. So I think he's a guy that can develop, add some weight down the road, and be a contributor to the Bulls.
Okay, 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. You're now joined by senior writer Josh Appel. Josh, you got up early this morning and headed over to Robinson and got a chance to see Bruce Hector sign his letter of intent, then headed over and watched Zach Benjamin join us with his intent to come to South Florida from Tampa Catholic, and ended your day by watching Nigel Harris from Hillsboro. So tell us a little bit, Josh, about those three athletes and what they bring to the Bulls.
Well, first off, Bruce Hector and Robinson High School was a very touching signing ceremony, because that was Coach Mike Depew's last recruiting class. This is his last season as the head coach at Robinson High School. And you might remember that USF, there was a little snafu with Connor Rafferty. He was signing with Samford, another USF target. Justin Madison was also there. But Bruce Hector, a two-star Rivals recruit, 6'2", 270. Didn't have a lot of big offers, but did have some solid mid-Division I offers, and South Florida was obviously his best one. He's an undersized defensive tackle, but that's where they have him. When I spoke to him today, he was very excited about coming in and trying to make an impact early, and you guys were just talking about the couple of guys that USF brought in on the defensive line. So just right now, he's probably third or fourth in line just in this recruiting class at the defensive tackle spot, but that doesn't faze him. He's going to go in there, and he's going to try and make an impact early. I asked him if the coaching staff made any indication to him about possibly redshirting or any option like that, and they told him no. They said that the playing time is readily available to him if he is there to take it.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Nigel Harris. And when Earl Garcia, who has coached at Tampa Hillsboro since God was a child, says that this is the smartest football player he's ever coached, that's saying something.
Yeah, and one of the big things that Coach Garcia was talking about when he spoke at the signing day ceremony at Hillsboro High School was the fact that all the players signing had great GPAs, and Nigel had a GPA over 4. And for someone like him, who's not only great in the classroom but also a very versatile and good player on the field, it's basically a player that fits right into Skip Holtz's mold of a guy who's great in the classroom and can play on the field. But this is a great guy for Willie Taggart. It's a great pickup. The kid is so versatile. One of the things that Coach Garcia was talking about was, I could ask this kid to do anything on the field, and he would do it. I don't know if anybody knows this, but Nigel Harris was the punter for Hillsboro High School, and he was also played a lot of running back, scored 15 or 16 touchdowns this season, in addition to being the team's leading tackler. This shows you what kind of athlete he is. He's a little bit undersized. He might have to put on a few pounds. He's only 200 pounds to play linebacker, but as a three-star recruit and was recruited all over the place, had an offer from Vandy, had an offer from Pittsburgh and Purdue, even from UCF, which is the rival on I-4 for USF. So it's a good pickup. It's a solid pickup for USF, and it's another guy that when talking to the coaching staff today, they spoke very highly of him, and they think that he can also make an impact early. And overall, it's going to get repetitive, but in talking to the USF assistants today at the facility, they all pretty much said it's, in a nutshell, was open season for all the positions in spring practice moving forward.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Zach Benjamin from Tampa Catholic, a wide receiver with some speed.
Yeah, Zach Benjamin not only has the speed, but he also has the size as well. 6'4", he's a three-star recruit. USF, again, one of his better offers, a lot of mid-major offers that he had. But Zach Benjamin, like you said, brings a lot of speed. He's a reliable receiver, and he already adds to a pretty good wide receiving core for USF. It's a pretty big one as well. I mean, you got guys like DeVario Montgomery, who's 6'4", 6'5". Andre Davis is 6'2". You got Sterling Griffin coming back. You have a guy on that receiving core who's 5'5". That's the size of the point. Zach Benjamin adds size to an already pretty big wide receiving group, and it's probably one of the strongest units on the team.
Well, Keenan, what's your take on Nigel Harris, Bruce Hector, and Zach Benjamin?
Well, we'll start with Hector. I mean, he was a kind of a lower-rated, lower-tier prospect, but he is a guy that has some nice size. He's around 260, but he has the frame to put on more weight, I think, as Josh alluded to, in regards to maybe redshirting. But, hey, if the playing time's there for the taking, you go for it. You kind of get your experience as a freshman, and then you hit the weight room in the off season. But if he doesn't get playing time, he's a guy that could benefit from sitting a year and improving his body a little bit and gaining some weight. But Well, Harris is a good prospect, as Josh alluded to. He's athletic. He can do a lot on the field. I saw him at the Orlando Nike camp last spring. He had a very good performance there. He is built like a safety. He's a guy that does need to add weight to play outside linebacker at the next level. But he can play inside linebacker, cover the tight end because he has very good speed. I saw Benjamin at that same Nike camp as well, and he really surprised me. He was a very good receiver. I saw him high-point some balls over some defensive backs, and some kids were like, who's this guy? How is he making some of these plays? And I actually asked one of the Tampa Catholic coaches who was there helping work the event. I'm like, who's this guy? And he's like, that's like Benjamin. He's pretty good. And I'm like, we wrote him up because he had such a good performance. And that event had Ahmad Fullwood there. That event had Tony Stevens. There was Janelle Barnes actually won the wide receiver MVP that day. There were some really good prospects there. Alvin Bailey was there. I mean, it was loaded. And Zach Benjamin turned heads. Again, I saw him run a streak, and the DB was right in his hip pocket, and he just went over the top, made the catch, and made it look pretty easy. And we were all like, man, that kid has some talent. So he's a BCS-level prospect. He has that type of ability. But, you know, the wide receiver position is deep with Davis and Montgomery and those guys. But, hey, I could see him making an impact and helping in the red zone and being a possession guy and contributing maybe as a freshman, but maybe as a sophomore and being a starter down the road when he gets to be an upperclassman.
All right, phone lines are open at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Keenan Codrington and Josh Appel on with Steve Berry, the publisher of runningthebulls.com, a part of the rivals.com network. And let me tell you something, folks. It is a great opportunity for you to talk to us, and we're going to be getting Cassandra Kahn in for just a moment. Josh, real quickly, your final thoughts on this recruiting 2013. You weren't ready to give a grade yesterday. What's your grade today?
I guess I have to knuckle down. I got to give it an A. These guys they've held on to the guys that were in danger of flipping. You had a guy like Lamar Robbins who almost flipped. Louisville was making a late push, and that's a very good player and a very big get for USF. They got a guy to flip from Louisville to USF and Callaway. So overall, in a month and a half, not even, such a great job by this staff. I mean, in a month and a half, they did just as well as Skip Holtz did in a full year of recruiting. So I'm giving them an A, maybe even an A+, but just an outstanding start for this recruiting class and this coaching staff. And then there's a lot to look forward to if you're a USF fan moving forward.
Josh, thank you for joining us. I know you, like Nick, have a basketball game to prepare for, and I appreciate all your hard work today getting out to the high schools. And we'll have some video and some final thoughts from Josh later on tonight and tomorrow as all of us get some much-needed rest tomorrow, unless they are still tracking Alex Collins' mom. But, Josh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right, Josh Bell, the senior writer for runningthebulls.com. Steve Berry, along with Keenan Codrington from rivals.com. We're going to be joined in a moment by Cassandra Kahn. Cassandra was at the signing ceremony for Derek Callaway. And, you know, you mentioned Derek Callaway and Manatee High School, Keenan, and you're not old enough to remember Willie Taggart playing high school football, but I am. And the linebacker that hit him time and time again, Lamont Green. Lamont Green played on the national championship and state championship team for Miami Southridge in 1993. That team had Cedric Irvin and Darren Davis and Troy Davis, who went on to Iowa State and I do believe finished second in the Heisman race. They also had a linebacker that was named Lamont Green, and he got his chance to hit Chevin Wiggins and Willie Taggart over and over again. That was a 69-36 final score in that game, as Miami Southridge scored every time they touched the football. And when Joe Kanaan looks at you and says, we just can't stop them, they are a good football team.
Man,
so just a little trip down memory lane. Keenan, let's step out of Florida real quick while we're waiting on Cassandra to join us. Let's go up to Colquitt County, take a look at Johnny Ward, a two-star defensive back from Colquitt County, the Packers, plays for Rush Probst. Very well known to be very outspoken about his athletes. What kind of defensive back is Johnny Ward?
Johnny's a solid prospect. He's rated two stars by us, but I've watched his video when they played North Gwinnett. He's a guy that can make plays. Again, he's going to be very well coached, coming from Coach Probst. They pretty much run basketball fast court offense on the field. So he saw that in practice. He's a guy that can keep up with fast, quick receivers, play at a high tempo, and he can make plays. And I think he's a guy that can add depth as well to the position. And he played some running back. He did a little bit of everything, and you know, he's just that type of guy. Goes both ways, and I think he can be a guy that if he can add some weight, he's around. We have him at 160. If he can add a little bit of weight, he may be a guy that can come in and play and make a solid contribution.
All right, let's go up I-75 to East Point, Georgia, and Tri-Cities High School, where Dominic Threatt and Jeremy Hall hail from. Hall, a former Georgia Tech commit. What I really like about Jeremy Hall, being a big eater, being a center, he goes after people. I saw him fire off the ball after snap and go looking for a linebacker to hit.
Yeah, Jeremy is a good – I think he's one of the top sleepers in this class. I had a chance to see him at the Georgia Nike camp a year ago. I know his coach very well, Kenneth Miller. He's a great guy, but Hall is, like you said, he does fire up the ball. He's aggressive. He's nasty. He finishes blocks, and it's a great pickup for USF. I think it's kind of a steal. I mean, a lot of people won't talk about offensive linemen or centers, but they're your captain out there on the O-line, and he's the guy that brings a lot of size to the position at 6'4", 335. He's kind of a mauler. Like you said, he's going to look for somebody to hit, and he can get, when he gets to the second level, watch out for some smaller linebackers, because he can finish you off, and you can become a part of his pancake stats for that play.
And Dominic Threatt?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got sidetracked talking about Hall.
That's,
he's such a good prospect.
Okay.
He's pretty nasty.
we can't forget about the guy that got Jeremy Hall to South Florida. That's Dominic Threatt.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve. It's not often I get to talk about offensive line and be excited about him. I'm a former defensive back and nickel guy, and I'm small, and I like watching receivers and DBs, but I like Hall. As you said, Dominique's the guy that helped get him to South Florida. And he's another guy at 6'2", 294. I think he is the guy that could make an immediate impact. He's bigger than Hector. He's bigger than some of the other defense alignment. He's close to 300 pounds like a guy like Callaway. So he's a guy that can come in and contribute. He had some nice offers, and he decided South Florida was where he wanted to be. I think Georgia offered him early. Louisville offered him as well. He's around a 5'6", three-star prospect, so he's just on the cusp of that four-star status. So he's another guy that you can bring in and help build along the defensive line. And being able to get into Atlanta, you know, again, Georgia offered this kid, getting in there and there and getting in the backyard of the Bulldogs and even Georgia Tech, which is probably 10 minutes from East Point, is a nice job by Coach Taggart and his staff.
All right, only on the MARTA train now, only on the MARTA train. If you're driving in Atlanta,
nothing is
10 minutes except for the Coke building from Georgia Tech. That's about 10 minutes, and that's as you walk.
That's true.
Speaking of Georgia Tech, I don't want to digress, but is Michael Snare ever going to miss a last-second shot?
I don't think so. I think he's making – can you call him Mr. Clutch?
Yes. All right, hey, let's get Cassandra Khan in. Cassandra was up and early this morning crossing the Sunshine Skyway as she headed out to Manatee High School, home of one Willie Taggart, and got a chance to see a four-star defensive lineman, Derek Callaway, sign his national letter of intent. Cassandra, good afternoon, and welcome to the bullpen.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've got Eden Codrington with us as well. And Cassandra, you got a chance to see Derek Callaway sign, and he was targeted. I mean, a lot of folks came after him. What was his reasoning for picking South Florida?
You know, it was a mixture of things, and I heard a perspective from a few different people, and each person kind of said something different. He himself said that he went to USF, he connected with Coach Willie Taggart, and he connected with the program and what he's trying to do at USF, and he couldn't pass up the opportunity to become a part of this kind of rebuilding or this new era of USF football. Then I talked to his coach, Joe Canan, and he said, you know, Willie Taggart was a huge aspect of this decision, of this flip, because he thinks after Louisville beats Florida in the bowl game that Louisville is the target for Callaway the whole time. But Willie Taggart came down and met him at some practices, talked to him, and you know, that's when their relationship got going. Then I went and talked to Callaway's grandmother, who said, you know, Willie Taggart was great. They really had a connection with also Raymond Woody, who played a large role in that. And the closeness was a big factor. She said when Calloway went and told her that he was committing to USF that she started crying tears of joy because she didn't want to go all the way up to Louisville to have to see him play in the game.
Well, let me tell you something. Raymond Woody was in his element standing at Manatee High School. Woody coached at Bayshore as well as Palmetto High School down there in Manatee County. And that's a fraternity between Paul Meckley and Joe Kanaan and Raymond Woody. Those three guys, they are Manatee County high school football. And Joe, the senior statesman, of course, Paul's been there at Southeast High School forever. And Valparaiso's very own Paul Meckley. So I got to get that shout out there. All right, Cassandra. Also, we talked a little bit earlier about Eric May, so I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit and ask you, who is the sleeper of this signing class? You're a senior at USF. You've seen the victory over Florida State, and you've seen the debacle that was the Miami game. Who's your sleeper in this first signing class for Willie Taggart?
The sleeper, you know, I'm going to go with one that probably people aren't thinking of, but I'm going to go with Mike White. I'm going to go with that one just because of the way that Willie Taggart has been talking about him the past week. He's been saying great things. He really thinks that he can make an impact early on this Bulls team, and it's a very, very important position, of course, being the quarterback. But also, you're going into a situation where no one really knows what the quarterback position is going to be like. And for the past, you know, 8 years, I would say, with Grossi and then Daniels, you've had that stability. And now you're going into something that doesn't have that stability that in this situation. And Mike White's coming in here with basically all eyes are on him. He has an opportunity to take the reins here. And I think from what I'm hearing, Coach Willie Taggart thinks he can actually do it.
All right, Keenan, you know, that's somebody we completely forgot about when we were breaking down Southeast Florida, and I guess it's because he's been in the Bulls' fold for a long time. But, you know, Mike White, all he did was lead the University Suns to an undefeated record. I think he was 23-1 as a starter at the Suns program and won the state championship game after trailing 17-0 against Madison County, scoring 24 unanswered points.
Yeah, and this guy is someone who brings a lot of confidence to the game as well. He doesn't back off on his abilities.
Absolutely. Keenan, you've seen Mike White play a few times down in South Florida. What's your take on this baseball player and football player? Because Mike is also a starting pitcher for the Suns.
Yes, I've seen him play a few times this season. And what I was most impressed about, Steve? It was the fact that White got better as the season went on. He got stronger. A state title game, that was a thing of beauty, being down 17-0 against Madison County, a team that when you're down, you know, they want to run the ball and run it down your throat and eat clock, and he was able to dissect that team and lead his team back to a state title, which, you know, they're a loaded team, University School, but without Mike White, I don't think that would have been possible. So, I like his accuracy. I like his delivery. I like his ball placement. I think he's a guy that he understands the position. He does have that baseball arm, so he can get the ball out quick. I'm not sure he has the biggest, strongest arm. I don't think he's going to drive the ball 70 yards down the field on, you know, a vertical route. But he's a guy that he's going to put touch over the top of guys and make plays. This year he threw for 2,100 yards, 22 touchdowns. But here's the stat that jumps out: only 2 interceptions. He takes care of the ball. And he's a very smart player, and I think he has a chance to be a very good one for this class. And Steve, talk about his offer. He wins the state title at U School that Saturday. I'm in the press box. I see the tweet that he commits straight to USF and Coach Scott. I mean, they just hit the ground. He wins the state title and gets the offer he wants. I mean, talk about a dream season for him. And I think they showed such a big commitment to him. I think he's going to be a guy that comes in with a little bit of chip on his shoulder and kind of like Con said, lock down that position and build a foundation, just like Cassandra said, have that stability at the position, which I think you've seen in the last couple of years hasn't been there with the Daniels injury and the flip-flopping of quarterbacks.
Okay, Cassandra, we put Josh on the line because yesterday during the podcast, you weren't ready to give a grade to the Taggart crew, but I stepped up. Didn't I say A-minus or A-plus? I said A-minus, didn't I? I think I said A minus.
I think that's what you said.
I said A or A minus. What's your grade now, Cassandra, after going 22 for 22 for all practical purposes, 23 for 23 because they have three early enrollees? What's your grade now for Willie Taggart and the folks over there at South Florida?
I am going to give him a B plus. That's what I'm coming with.
A B plus. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And why a B plus?
He did get some good recruits with the Callaway and the Senate and some Lamar Roberts is a big, big pickup. I feel like in some positions, they possibly did not recruit enough to add enough depth in my mind, but I think overall they got good recruits, but I think there's some positions that are probably not going to be as strong.
Okay, well, Cassandra, thank you so much for your input, and thank you for your efforts today to get some video footage and cover some of the signings. We'll be having that updated onto runningthebulls.com later on this evening and tomorrow. And, Cassandra, we'll put you down for a B+.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Cassandra. I'll give her an A for her efforts today, but a B+ for the recruiting class. All right. Let's real quickly, before we bring in Richard Escobar, who is the man that logged the most miles today. He started out in St. Pete and went all the way over to Plant High School. Let's talk real quickly about Darius Woody from First Coast High School, who signed at 9 o'clock today. Darius Woody, a defensive back who is looking forward to playing for Coach Ron Cooper and Coach Chuck Bresnahan, two NFL caliber coaches. And Keenan, Darius Woody, the forgotten guy. Let's also talk real quickly about Stephon McCray and Hassan Childs from the Orlando area. Those three before we bring in Richard.
Yeah, sure, Steve. I think you're right. Stephon and Hassan are very good pickups. I mean, they're very productive players. I think that's the thing that jumps out at both. They're both very productive. McCray's a guy that a lot of schools wanted. I think Miami tried to come in and get him late. I mean, he's a guy that rushed for 1,300 yards, 21 touchdowns, close to a 9-yard average. So he's very productive. I think he's a nice pickup, especially after missing on JoJo Kemp. I think he brings a little bit of stability to the running back position, and he's a local kid that understands what it takes to play at a high level at USF, having seen USF play all the way up to a number two ranking in the past years under Jim Leavitt. So Childs as well, he's a DB, kind of a ball-hawking guy. He can make a lot of plays. He's big at 6'1". He definitely has the ability to hit, come up, support the run when the run plays are going his way. Not a huge offer list, but a quality player as well, another three-star prospect that you can build in the secondary. And as you said, Steve, playing for a guy like Ron Cooper, NFL-level coach who understands the position, I think he's only going to make a guy like Childs better, and even a guy like Woody, who kind of is under the radar a little bit, but playing for a very good First Coast team, a very good First Coast defense that had four-star prospects like Daniel McMillan across the board, Tyrell Lyons, and even Reggie Northrop last year. So Woody is a guy that can bring some depth as well. And just having these guys that Coach Cooper can mold into the DBs he wants, having been there and done that, I think that really helps him as a good selling point for some of these DBs in this class, even for a guy like Lamar Robbins, a four-star prospect.
Okay, our phone number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Richard Escobar gets the Mileage Award. He is the Capital One Mileage Award winner because he started his day at Knee High at Northeast High School at 8 a.m. to watch Augie Sanchez sign. And then he jumped on the Courtney Campbell Causeway, shot all the way across the bay to Plant High School, where he just left. And Richard, you saw Augie Sanchez started, and you saw Mitchell Wright ended. How was it?
Let me just start off. I did start at Wesley Chapel this morning. that's where I live.
That's true.
that's a starting destination.
So you just made the Mileage Award a little bit further.
Plant knows how to definitely celebrate their players. Wow, they have big. It looked like the whole South Tampa was here. But starting with Northeast side Augie Sanchez, I think that guy definitely is going to come on the radar because man, that guy that's a guy that looks like he's going to bring a lot of presence to some kind of position for USF. And I didn't know he had a perfect transcript either. I mean, he's He's smart in the books, academically wise. I think he's going to be someone to watch. I think he might be probably almost an impact player immediately, somewhere. Even if it's on special teams, he's going to be somewhere. Mitchell Wright, watching his film, how they introduced him, that guy hits people hard.
Well, I talked to Augie when he made his decision, and of course his brother Armando played for South Florida and was a special teams headhunter for a while. And, you know, Augie was the middle linebacker, moved over from defensive end, and a lot of folks wondered why he wasn't getting a whole lot of looks. And the bottom line is, Keenan, you know how important this is. Augie spent the entire summer with a sickness and didn't camp, didn't go to combines, didn't do all that stuff. He stayed home to get better. Also got moved from defensive end to middle linebacker, and his tackles went down, his sacks went down, but if you watch him on film, he is a presence.
He was a presence. I mean, the film I've seen, and it's just his stature. It's just when you stand in front of him, he's going to be a football player. He's going to get bigger. That's the scary thing. He's going to be a force to reckon with.
Okay, Keenan, you were about to jump in there. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Steve. I agree. I like his size. I like his frame. He's a weak side defensive end that, you know, he could play some outside linebacker. He is a guy that has nice size at 215 right now to put on about 20 more pounds, 25 more pounds, and hold up on the edge and kind of get after the quarterback a little bit. He is a guy that he hits hard, and as you said, changing positions and moving around gives him a little bit of versatility as well, and I think he's a nice, you know, he's a little underrated at the two-star spot, but I think he's a quality, you know, three-star type player. Just missing the cut this year, as you said, he got hurt, moved around, played a different position. But he is a guy that can make an impact, you know, down the road. I think he needs to put on some weight, and so he can hold up at the, you know, the BCS level in the Big East at USF. But he is a guy with some range and some talent and some scheme versatility that I think Coach Woody and the rest of the staff is going to enjoy.
Okay, there are five that we have not broken down, and because we're running out of time, we want to get those five in because I don't want to leave anybody out. First of all, we'll start with Mike Love, the 6'3", 210, three-star defensive end, rated number 37 at his position in the country. He signs from Countryside, and Keenan, a three-star defensive end. Right now the Bulls have four defensive ends. Check that, three defensive ends that came in on this class.
Yeah, I like Mike Love. I had a chance to see him last year at the Orlando Nike camp. He checked in around 6'3", 215, but he's a guy that moves very, very well. He's a smart football player. He understands the game overall, and he did win most of his reps in one-on-ones against the offensive line at that Orlando Nike camp that featured, you know, guys like Ira Denson and Laramie Tunsil. So he did a really nice job. He's kind of a guy, another, you know, these weak side defensive men, these guys are a little undersized. We need to put on a little weight, so I hate to repeat the same thing, but he is a guy that can make an impact as well at the defensive end position. I like his height at 6'3". That's impressive. If he can't get to the quarterback, he can get his arms on balls and dot down passes and stuff like that. So Mike Love is a guy I like as well.
All right, three-star defensive back Nate Godwin, rated number 49 overall at his position, 6', 190 pounds, from Freedom High School.
Yeah, Nate's a guy that got into the position rankings before he was unranked, and we had a chance to watch his senior year film, and, you know, he was committed to Minnesota at one point, and USF was able to flip him, and I think he's a quality prospect. He played a little bit of corner, plays a little bit of safety. He will hit. That's one of the things that stood out on film. I like the versatility he brings as well, and again, I hate to be biased towards the DBs, being a former DB, I like a guy like Nate Goodwin. And I think at 6', 190, he's a guy that can grow into about a 210-pound safety and kind of lay the wood back there, but also bring some range back there that can pick off passes and kind of play a little bit of center field safety.
Hey, if I can be biased at the Big Eaters, you can be biased at the DBs. Okay, we have three that are already enrolled, three guys who didn't have their signing day ceremonies today because they were in class. Emilio Nadelman from Miami Central High School, Terrell Safford, a junior college transfer, DB, and Rahom Swain. Ramon Swain, both of those are junior college transfers. Keenan, give us your take on those three.
Yeah, I'll start with Nettleman because I've seen him more. The leg, you know, Miami
yes.
Central didn't win their first state title until they had Nettleman on the team. So give him a lot of credit. I know he's
It's not a big position. It doesn't get a lot of glory, but it's very, very important that he does kickoffs. He handles kickoffs well. He puts the ball in the end zone. I'm guesstimating here 75% of the time. I've been a lot of games at Trask Hall to see Miami Central and their big time matchups. And he's a weapon. And he gave Miami Central the ability to split their uprights and win football games at the end on field goals. So he's a nice pickup. I mean, I think some people kind of slept on him a little bit. He had the FIU offer, but he's a great kicker. I mean, Steve, you know this. You've been doing this longer than I have. Kickers that come out of Dade County, that's pretty hard to do. Those two sports soccer guys, maybe. But Nettleman's he's a great place kicker, and I think it's a nice pickup for them. And then also getting the JUCO guys, I think that's something that helps. These are guys that can come in and contribute right away. They have some experience. They can be thrown in the fire. They understand what it takes to play football at a high level against some bigger guys, guys that are physically more mature. So I like Swain. I like Southfold, and they can maybe make an impact a little quicker than some of the freshmen being JUCO guys. And that's always something you look for in JUCO guys. They can come in and play right away. You don't want to wait on JUCO guys. You want them to come in and contribute.
Okay, that leads me to my last question of the night for you, Keenan, and that is that the Bulls have 23 in this signing class, 3 early enrollments and 20 that did national letters of intent. We know Lorenzo Woodley is still out there. We know there are a few players that are either gray-shirted or did not get the offer they wanted. Do you think USF goes out and gets one of those diamonds in the rough that maybe wasn't available but now is?
Quite possibly. I mean, last time I talked to Woodley, he visited Cincinnati and heard some buzz on UMass and some other things. A guy that, Steve, you and I talked about this week, and I had some text messages with Miami Northwestern coach Darius Tice. Again, Steve, pardon me if I've been away from the computer today.
That's
taking
okay.
The Alex Collins thing as well, and also being at a Booker T. I'm not sure if he signed his letter of intent.
Yes, Darius is in the fold. I'm glad you brought up his name because that's the one that I inadvertently forgot about. And I knew I was going to forget one, but Darius Tice, we actually have some great video footage coming up on Darius Tice about why he chose to stay a Bull because, Northwestern is
right.
The Bulls. So we'll have that up on the website in a little bit.
Yeah, and Steve, I mean, Tyson's a guy I like. I mean, I think he finished with more yards rushing than a guy like Woodley. I think Woodley had more touchdowns, but I think Tyson finished with more yardage, and he brings that power to the game at 200 pounds, but he does have speed to get to the edge. I mean, he's a good prospect. He's a good pickup late. If you missed out on a guy like Kemp, and if you may have missed out on Woodley, you got him. And not Childs, but McCray, and that helps give you a nice 1-2 punch. So Tice is, I like him. I think he's a nice sleeper. I think he rushed over 1,200 yards in Dade County, had a very good season. You like that kind of production, and I think he's a guy that can make an impact. And he coming from a power program like Miami Northwestern only helps. He's played against the top competition down here, and he finished fourth in rushing, 1,210 yards. 20 touchdowns, and he did rush for more yards than Woodley and Chestnut at Columbus. So give him credit for the season he had.
Okay, Keenan, I've put everybody else on the spot. I've saved you for last. What's your grade of Willie Taggart and this first ever USF Bulls recruiting class?
Steve, last night on the chat, I know I was kind of in and out. I had to take care of a few things, but I gave it a B-plus last night. I think looking at it today, I'm going to go ahead and give it an A, and give it an A-plus on effort. Again, you and I talked. I might have said a huge miss earlier on Kirkland. That's not a huge miss. Just for them to be in the mix and Taggart to make an impression on a guy like Kirkland to give him something to think about, that goes a long way with me. Ditto for Stacey Coley as well. They got him to campus, and that's the big thing. That's the last play Stacey Coley saw. Even though he ended up at Miami, I think he had USF right there. So A-plus for effort. A for the class they got. They, like you said, they hit on all the guys they wanted. They got some depth. They got some JUCO guys. And I think it's just a matter of time before Coach Taggart puts a stamp on the program and watch out. If he can make headway into South Florida, lock up Hillsborough, lock up Manatee County, which I'm sure he will, and then get up into Orlando as well, which is UCF's backyard, I think there's going to be some things that are cooking down at USF and down in Tampa and over at Raymond James Stadium.
All right, our thanks to Kenan Codrington from Rivals.com, the Southeast analyst. Our thanks to Nick Grinowitz, the managing editor, Josh Chappelle, senior writer, Cassandra Khan, our multimedia specialist and writer, as well as Richard Escobar, who is the road warrior for today. Don has been our producer back at Studio Central. This is Steve Berry reminding you prayer changes things, so get on your knees and fight like a man. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. This is In the Bullpen.